Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey in Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, Jack. That yo could have been bigger.
Oh.
It could have been bigger.
Yes.
We were this close. But, like, for real, though.
We're this close to me bullying you into podcasting last night.
I was getting to pod, like, during my fantasy draft last night. It was up late.
I know.
It was not a great day for your boy. Other than being at the ballpark for 300.
It was a great day.
What a moment. I mean, like, in all seriousness, we'll get, like, I know that people are doing the Mount Rushmore thing, and there's a, like, forgetting that.
Which we started.
Literally, for real. But, I mean, all Phillies conversation, if we're being real about it. But, in all honesty, I think there's a real chance he's the most clutch athlete in my lifetime in Philadelphia. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. It's like every time this guy comes up in a big spot, it's a home run. It's freaking unbelievable.
It's really just ramped up the last 2 years, I feel.
Yeah.
Before that, we had the
Cub Grand Slam.
Yeah. And in his MVP year, I remember, do you remember that game where they were down, 7-0 early? And he had it was against the Cubs as well.
Oh, yeah.
And he had,
the double
yep. late.
Yep.
And I think that might have actually sealed his MVP that year, even though he didn't make the playoffs. He's continuing to rack up big moments.
Big moments.
Now, the key is, the bullpen can't blow all the big moments. Because, obviously, the home run last week. The Nick Nelson after the home run.
Oh my God, remember that? Yeah, against the Braves. I forgot all about that.
That's honestly the Phillies closing it out after hit Bedlam of the Bank is one of the bigger upsets.
I know, but they got his Ranger. Otherwise, they probably don't. Yeah. Like, they just had someone whose heart doesn't beat on the freaking mound. Otherwise, they're probably screwed.
Yeah, if Robertson's in there, there's no way.
No chance they win that game. Zero.
Every big home run outside of Bedlam of the Bank that Bryce is hitting the eighth inning.
I know, he has to walk it off.
They've blown it. No, and like, for me, the game ended after the Harper home run. Yeah. Like, yeah, it was a walk-off.
I agree.
A walk-off for his 300th home run.
Remember his 300th home run as a walk-off.
Well, that's the funniest part, because obviously in the moment, it's like, damn, that sucks. But as we've like have gone on and we've talked our way through it, like, no one really remembers they lost.
Oh, no. No. Yesterday was all about the... I mean, like, dude, like... I actually feel like he was, and I don't think he really was. Like, he might have just been shocked in the moment, Bedlam Bank. But fuck, he was more excited yesterday with hitting 300. Like, I've never seen him, like, going around the bases, pumping his fist. Like, obviously, the kiss in the jersey, the whole thing. Like, he was, like, really freaking into it.
Well,
yesterday, man.
Well, and the greatest mark of an all-time great athlete is they know the moment. And he knew the moment. He swung first pitch. And it's just, again, basketball players have game winners. Like, it's in their hands. They can handle it. The amount of... times he's been in these
it's unbelievable
where it's like it's we talked about this after Bedlam at the Bank, I believe,
yes,
was about how it was the most walk-off buzzer beater basketball kind of shot of all time.
Yeah, and also to your point you're just making about how it's so rare that in the playoffs, in that type of moment, that this all-time superstar actually even gets up, yes, in a spot to have a chance to take the lead like that with a home run. Like, that alone is so rare. And then for him to actually grab it and take it, like, it's rare.
And
man,
the biggest difference between him and the fraud, Derek Jeter, is that he hits dingers, dude. Yeah, he isn't a little slap hit the other way. I mean, he hits dingers. I know that Jeter's, 3,000th hit was a home run off David Price?
Which was pretty good.
It was good.
It was good work.
Cute. I can't wait for Bryce's 500th, you know, like, stuff like that. I kid you not, James. And you know me, the listeners know me, like, everyone's aware of what of how this brain kind of operates.
I think it's pretty clear.
Not great. Yeah. But
to be Jack Fritz.
But I have just thought so much about his 500.
I know you have. Of course you have.
I've already started planning, like, I've already started having ideas of, like, obviously we're on the road for it. If he's not gonna hit it at home, which, given the last couple of years, he's definitely going to hit it at home.
I think he's going to be home.
Like,
yeah. Because, I mean, Schmidt hit on the road.
Yeah.
So, you know, Harper will not let that happen.
No,
like, he
will
might
not
sit out games to get home to hit it here in front of the crowd.
100%. I mean, I knew him hitting that before going on the road was a lock yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, hitting
well,
number
300. Well, three in a row. Three days. Like, he's just like, I'm getting this, dude. I'm not going on the road and without 300. Like, this is happening in this freaking ballpark. He said about the game, too. Like, that's why it matters. He's like, I wanted to do it in front of these fans. Like, that mattered to him.
And he knows that he can't go. I mean, they're not home till next Friday.
That's the point.
He can't have a homerless streak.
Are you kidding me? Like, the dude can't go a day without home. He's, like, as hot as he's since the playoff. Like, he's playoff Bryce Harper's here.
Yeah. And it's
of course he's going to homer over the next six games.
And
multiple times, I'm sure.
But, like, Bryce's 500th, like, that's going to be, again, you start thinking about, like, it's so fun right now. Because you can live in the moment of, like, what are we watching?
I know.
Like, what we're watching right now is a guy putting together, obviously, an all-time Phillies resume. You know, he's coupling, he's a mix. It's crazy. We talk so much about Rollins, Utley, Howard, right? He's putting all three together in one. He has J-Roll's flair. Mm-hmm. He has Utley's aggressiveness.
And like, effort and, you know, the like, baseball player
right
thing. Yep.
And he has the Howard power and like,
putting and dramatic, the flair for the dramatic and all that.
Putting the team on his back.
To, like, get me to the plate boys mentality.
He is all three.
This is such a great point.
Of our favorite players in franchise history. Pillars of this franchise. He is all of that embodied into one player. And, like, Schmidt is going to be tough to touch because of the gold gloves.
Probably impossible.
Probably
impossible.
I mean,
again, I always say with Schmidt, like, there are nine positions in baseball, and if you make an all-time team in the history of the game, like, we got one of the nine. Like, that's tough to pass.
It is. It is. And
but, like, yeah, go ahead.
He's when it's all said and done, I'd be shocked if he's not the second best Philly of all time.
He's in I think he's going to be an inner circle Hall of Famer. I think already. Like, so I'm old. We know.
Hand
jokes,
up. Hand
jokes,
up.
The whole thing. I'm old and all that. but like sadly just not quite old enough for prime Schmidt. Like I remember like the end of Mike Schmidt. I saw him. I went to the vet. Like I did all that. And I grew up knowing that Mike Schmidt was the greatest Philly of all time. Like it was all my dad talked about. Like I grew up as like Schmidt's my favorite player and all that. But like I really only got to see the end of his career. Like the last couple years, like without a doubt, and resume wise, a different thing. When you talk about Rushmore and all, and you talk about the years they were here and everything they put together. But I am 100% sure that Bryce Harper is the best Philly I've ever seen in my lifetime. Like, flat out. Like, period. Like, that's it. This is the best player I've ever watched in my lifetime in a Phillies uniform when they're playing. Because, again, I saw Schmidt in a Phillies uniform, but not Schmidt. Mm-hmm. Like, right now, Bryce Harper right now is the best Phillies player I've ever seen.
Yeah. And he's doing that without even really like, being in the field.
Holiday, I guess the only one maybe I would even like consider there.
And for obviously peaks, I mean 06 Howard is
For peaks, yeah. He was right there. I mean 06 Howard bad 3-6 with 58 home runs.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty
like how silly is that?
Like I know, it's like in the moment I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
He's like, sure, all right. Because we were coming off the end of the steroid era. It didn't feel as like, oh yeah, 58, sure.
What do you have? 140 RBI?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And it's like now looking back, it's like holy crap. Like,
it's like if someone did that now, people would be like building a statue of him in the moment. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like,
dude, it's, yeah, again, 06 Howard, another level that we might never see again.
You're right.
In a Phillies uniform. But the totality of the player, yeah, I agree with you. Now, so I'm just going through the life cycle of James Seltzer, which unfortunately.
the long life cycle.
Which unfortunately is coming to an end soon.
Oh, God.
But so early James Seltzer saw Schmidt cry when he retired, right?
I did,
and I'm sure you cried as well.
I was at the when they retired his number. I was at all.
Oh man, that's good. That's good. You're an emotional man.
I know.
So that was young Seltzer.
Yes.
And then elementary school Seltzer saw the '93 Phillies
and nothing else. Yes.
Exactly.
A lot of sadness.
Exactly. Yeah. Early college Seltzer saw an unbelievable Phillies run.
Great time. Yeah.
Great time.
Like end of college Seltzer through like. Like 20s. 20s Seltzer was the heyday.
All right. Well, I even aged you.
You did. I mean, I was 26 in 07, so it was really like 20 to 30. Yeah, close to 30.
Wow.
Yeah.
I always forget that.
I know.
Anyway. And so then that's Seltzer's, you know, mid, you know, prime.
Prime.
But right now.
Clear prime.
I would say right now it's actually your prime. But in the prime of your life, you are seeing Bryce Harper. And then when you're in the retirement home, you're going to be talking about Aiden Miller. So, like, it's
what a beautiful thing.
It's going
to
be great.
You'll be coming to visit me, checking in on me.
I'll bring you supper. You can have your supper at 4 and go to bed by 5.
Hey, that's like what I do.
I'm
going to bed at like 5 today. Like, that's the lock of all time.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
I'm really excited about it.
But yeah, it's like the life cycle of James Seltzer is through Phillies players.
It's great. Yeah, it's good.
You're going to. I'm not saying it.
You already told me I was dying soon.
Right. So, well, I was going to say that. I was going to say
so
that.
So you're just saying.
I was going to say that Aiden Miller is going to put you in the grave.
You might.
Yeah. You're going to go to the grave with Aiden Miller being the this person.
You could do worse. You could do worse. If you got to go, at least you got Aiden Miller sending you there.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Anyway, not to get morbid, but.
If we ever get Aiden Miller on the pod, I'll ask him how he feels about killing me in the future.
Yeah. Being the last Philly James.
Outlasting
the last,
me.
The last great Philly that James remembers, Aiden Miller. But yeah, dude, he is just stacking so many moments. And I think when it's all said and done, I think he's going to surpass Doc. I think he's going to surpass Iverson. I love Kelsey, but he's a center. You know, like
shout to Kelsey.
It's not Kelsey's fault. You know, I love Kelsey, but I'm just
all-time great.
He is an all-time great, and if I had a Mount Rushmore of the Eagles, he's on it because I think
he is like for what I get your point.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He's one of the great centers in this year.
Totally great. He's the most famous center of all time.
He's taking the center position, but like, hey, you could be famous. Guess what?
But I just think that Bryce is on his way towards being a not Mount Rushmore, just the Phillies, but a Mount Rushmore in Philadelphia. Because
I agree.
Because so he's going to be here through all the 2020s into the 2030s. He has racked up an all-time postseason moment already. If you get, he needs a parade. That's obvious.
Big time.
But you start thinking about
if he gets the parade. If he hits 500, that means 400. So you get 300, 400, five, like these moments,
right.
These like historical things.
And then I've thought a sickening amount about the migration to Cooperstown, like for his hall, like dude, like first off, I mean, Walk's gonna be 20 probably.
Oh my God, Jesus.
Like Walk's gonna be probably
so he's gonna be 24.
Like I have legitimately started getting Bryce Harper chills and like little welling up thinking about Tekken Walk and and whoever else. Obviously, I hope I have more kids.
Yeah.
But like taking them all up to Cooperstown to see Bryce get inducted and me giving the speech. Just kidding.
But are you though?
Not. I'm just saying, if Ray can do Tommy and me, it could be Bryce and me. You know what I mean?
Got it.
Hold on. And again, why is it Tommy and me and not Tommy and I?
It's a great question.
You know what I mean? Yeah. What if the whole
well,
time?
Well, no, because he'd be saying, it's me's right. Me's right. Because he'd be like, he's talking about me.
Believe me.
Me's right.
I don't think that Ray would have made a grammatical error in
me.
The 8 years that this
me and been. I is not your specialty either. I wouldn't
because
mean,
it's so dude. All right, there's
it's
things
so easy.
But there's things that
just say it without the and. Just say, are you going to come with me? Or are you going to come with I? Boom.
Right, and that's how I always did it. Right, and I was like this is common sense. And then I got ridiculed once by a teacher. So now that teacher's still in my head. There's a couple things from school that don't compute with me. Me and I.
Yeah.
The 12 times tables, because I missed that week.
Really?
Yeah, so I missed that week in school because I was out. I was skiing in Italy.
So like all the times tables are just for 12.
I know all of the times tables.
You know,
like
up to 11,
a little
and
tricks.
Then 12, you're in trouble.
12, I have no idea how they work. Like I don't know any of the tricks to remember the 12 times tables. Yeah. I know everything before that. And then
can I give you a trick? You just add 12 each time.
I don't know.
I'm saying if it's 12 times 3, then 12 times 4 is another 12. I'm just a joke.
Can't,
obviously,
can't do
it's,
it.
It's literally how you do any movie.
It's bad. It's bad. And then the last one is I before E except after C.
Yeah.
Which is not even true
it's
ever.
It's not always true.
It's never true.
It's true sometimes.
Yeah, but to make it a grandstanding rule.
I agree. I think this is a good take by you.
You can't make I before E except after C.
I think it just sounded good. And they're like, let's go with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, what was the school, not School of Rock. What was the little thing, the conjunction,
oh,
what's
oh,
your
oh,
function?
Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah, Schoolhouse Rock. It's probably one of those things.
Yeah, it's good.
So that's my three takes on school.
I think those are good takes.
Yeah, figure out the me and I thing.
Pretty easy, that one. that one I'm less.
Dude, there's nothing I spend more time on Twitter, like, trying to figure out which is the right one here.
I know.
It takes me like five. I asked Jill.
Just text me, I'll tell you.
I bring in Jill for assistant on me versus I. Yeah.
So good.
Thank you.
It really is.
Yeah, thank you.
So you're going to have to get your Bryce speech. You're going to have to make sure that it's, you know, checked.
Bryce and I. Bryce and I. Yep. And then I'm going to have to hear about it for years on MLB Network, I'm sure. But yeah, it's just he's putting together an all-time Philly resume. And it's the part that makes it so interesting and different than almost anyone else, right, is he's a free agent.
Yeah. Like, no, it's, it makes it different than anyone else.
He didn't start his career here.
Yeah.
He started here as a rival. Cole Hamels hit him in his first year. And now he's like dude, he's going to be – like when we eventually put together the WIP Mount Rushmore and we have it erected somewhere down in South Philly, sponsored by WIP.
That's right.
It's going to be – Schmidt, Dawkins, Jalen Harper.
Love it. Love it, dude. No, yeah, like, can you, like, the Jalen Harper, having them both here. I mean, they're just, like, they're too perfect, like, in different ways, but they're just, like, hard to believe that this human being is here and ours but some of the stuff with Bryce, I mean, to your point, like, first and foremost, for the most famous player in the world to choose us, like that alone, just the fact that happened
Ohtani's
in the
a Philly?
Yeah, I know, right? The fact that it happened, like, that's so absurd that he chose to come here in the first place. And then for this guy to, like, embrace the city this
dude,
way.
Dude, he's shouting out
he's
WIP.
He's shouting out Chuck! Are you freaking kidding me? Like, are you serious? Like, in my life, I actually asked Joe Wechter about it, and no one has been at WIP longer than Joe Wechter.
Not
everyone
even
here, right? Yeah.
Howard.
Not Howard, not Rhea, not any of those people. Wechter was here the longest. I said, have you ever, ever heard a Philly athlete?
Did you say it in this way? Like such an intense.
I was like very intense. I was like Joseph.
Pretty intense.
I called him Joseph. That's intense. I was like, have you ever in your life here seen a player shout out a caller? Shout out WIP like that. He said, nope.
Well, yeah.
It's like, it's never happened. It's like,
it's awesome, but think about the show he's on.
No, I know. I know.
I mean,
they're hiding from that. But regardless, point being, just like, this is unique, man. Like, this is, and we've talked about the love affair between the two, but like, Bryce Harper is the conduit for it. Like, Bryce Harper is like the face for it. You know, he's the guy who just tells us how much he freaking loves us all the time, man. You know I'm an attaboy guy. We've talked about this. If you yell at me, you're not going to get a lot out of me. I'm going to get mad at you. I'm going to turtle up, whatever. If you tell me I'm doing a great job, I'm going to run through a wall for you. Like,
hey, you're doing a great job.
Thanks, buddy. You can run through a wall. I'll run through a wall for Bryce Harper.
Yeah. No, he's, yeah. It's a combination of a lot of things with Bryce. It's a combination of he's freaking insane, dude. Like yeah. with like the amount of and the good part about Bryce when we're talking about resume stuff and not even just Philly, I'm just talking like Hall of Fame stuff, is that he's given the how good this team is and we think they're only going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be in a lot of postseason moments.
Yep.
And he's going to have a lot of these kind of opportunities. And it is funny. I remember when we're doing the whole Bryce like sign him thing.
No, yeah.
People are like, "Whoa, does he have a good postseason? Has he ever had a big postseason
hit?" I remember
hit?
That you know? Really well.
And yeah, of course there's a part of me like, "Well, what if he's not a winner?"
You never know until they get in those moments.
Exactly. It is nice that that is gone. But so he's going to keep racking up those. So it's not only like there's such an interesting combination with Bryce. It's like all-time moments, all-time great player. You know, Bedlam at the Bank at this point is a Mount. We're doing a lot of Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, it's a Mount Rushmore day.
Yeah, but it, like, dude, people crap on Mount Rushmores, but like, it's interesting. Like, I
it's
think
such a good way. It's an easy way to try and
we know what
encapsulate
it means.
What you're
yeah,
doing.
Yeah. So
exactly.
It's a deep breath.
Yeah,
it's not lazy. Anyway, but like,
it's not like a top five or something.
Yeah, why would you ever do a top five when you can have four? But do you like that I keep hitting this wall, by the way?
You're really into it. It's good. You're like Bryce when he's running around the bases.
But like Bedlam at the Bank is a Mount Rushmore Phillies moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's other than winning the World Series, like actually like the final out. It's
two of them?
I'm talking my lifetime. I was about to say like other than winning the World Series, the one that I won.
And you were in there in 1980.
Yeah, Bedlam at the Bank's my favorite moment. It's my number one moment as a Phillies fan outside of actually winning the World Series.
Bedlam at the Bank is my favorite. It's up there with Pivetta's complete game against the Reds. Like I would say Pivetta's complete game against
good
the Reds.
I forgot about that.
The Halliday no-hitter against the Reds.
Yeah, the Halliday playoff no-hitter is right up there. Yeah. That would be certainly in the shortlist.
Can I just say,
look, we were in the building for Bedlam at the Bank.
Exactly.
That obviously, like, I'm a little biased. I was there for it. It was
for
the coolest
sure.
thing I've ever seen live.
And
so
has your ankle recovered or no?
A little bit, yeah. No. But so what's
Bedlam
at the
you
Bank?
You milked, dude. You I swear to God, you milked that thing for 4 months just to say I was like that.
But
you
it
wanted
from Bedlam at the Bank. It was from the Harper homer in the World Series. That's when I hurt my ankle.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. Would you like to bet my life? Because I was the one who went through it.
I thought it was Bedlam at the Bank.
No, it was the Harper homer in the 7-0 game. Was when I hurt my ankle.
Game three?
In game three.
Off of McCullers?
Where we were there too. Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
I told everyone this all the time. You did
yeah,
it for Bedlam.
No.
You should change it.
I know. It's
you
better
should change
I,
it. Yeah.
Know,
like personal
it.
Advice to you, you should change
say
it.
Say it. I'm doing Bedlam.
Yeah.
I
think about how way better of a story that is. Just saying. Like,
you're right.
It's a way better story that I injured my ankle and limped around for months complaining about it.
I did limp for months.
Because of Bryce Harper.
It's still like there'll be mornings where I wake up and I just.
A little creaky?
Yeah. Not just creaky. Like it's like, oh, that hurts. Like that is painful right now.
Yeah.
You get up and you stand and you're like, is my leg about to snap underneath me? That's great.
It would have been a great story had they won the World Series.
Yeah.
Because that would have been the moment you were like, they're going to win the World Series.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, again, just trying to help you out.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
People helping people. but yeah, it's just like. Yeah, Bedlam at the Bank. By the way, I meant to before we start talking about your ankle again.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Like you start thinking about all like this is why we love this team. Like it takes you back to exactly where you were for the moments, and it's just like I love this baseball team. Now I watched the Halliday no hitter with my parents, so that's sick,
adorable.
Right?
Adorable. Well, the fun thing about that, it's super cool. but the fun thing I was a grown adult with a job.
But a job you hated.
Yeah, I did, and I was home for it. But the cool thing that for me, what it always is with the Halliday no hitter, the coolest part of it is like it's, you know, unless you're like us and you watch every single baseball game in the season, and then like what you get one every. When was the last one before Lorenzen? You know, it's like Hamels. So whenever like 5 to 7 to 10 years, whatever it is, if that. But like it's rare that you sit down and you watch every single pitch of a no-hitter. Like just, you know, even if you miss something, you go to the bat. Like playoff games, you don't miss a pitch. Like it was so cool because it's like that's the only no-hitter I've ever seen where I could say I didn't miss one freaking pitch of the no-hitter because it was a play. Like it was, that was awesome.
Yeah, I remember I had to go to like a meeting that night for something. And I was
like,
I was like, yeah, I mean, I'll get there. Yeah. But
after this, yeah, that's
like, I think the game started at like 4, right?
Yeah, it was an afternoon game.
Yeah, it started at like 4.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, it was just, yeah. So, but yeah, Bedlam at the Bank is I still can't believe it happened.
I can't believe it. I don't think Bryce could. Again, Bryce in the moment, it was like, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Meanwhile, Hoskins is slamming the bat and sprinting around.
Like we told you. But the other cool thing, too, to your point about Harper and the history, and we saw it when he talked about that moment. We saw it with the excitement of 300. We saw it after the game when he talked about, you know, what does this 300 mean to you? He's like, hopefully 300 more. Like this is a dude, because of what we talked about, like how he's like obsessed with baseball and is just the biggest baseball nut ever. That it's like even more impactful because it feels like to him, he cares so much about these things. Like mm-hmm. he wants to be remembered historically great. He wants to be a part of the 500 home run club. He wants to win World Series and all that. And when like he cares so much about it, when these things happen for him, like obviously because we love him, but it makes it even more meaningful. You know what I mean? Because you feel like he appreciates it so much.
Dude, if he gets the 600 home
600,
runs.
I mean, that's a small list, dude. There's like 10 guys or something. Like it's
and like half like
and after like the Sosa's in there and Bonds and A-Rod and all that stuff, you know, like
yeah, which
but
stinks.
Like the old school when I was gonna say when we were growing up, I can't say
when you were growing up.
When I was growing up, it was like
Ted Williams.
He wasn't even in it. He didn't make it. He would have if he hadn't gone to war.
Yeah.
But when I was growing up, the 600 home run club was Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, and Willie Mays. Done.
Wow.
In the list, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
And
now Bonds, A-Rod, Sosa, Tomey, Griffey, you know, like those guys are all in there now.
Yeah. But, and again, if Bryce gets in there,
that's rarefied. Oh, Pujols is in there now. That's like rarefied air, man.
Yeah. It's insane. It's insane. So, I mean, I'd be pretty shocked if he gets a 600.
600 seems like a stretch.
I'd be happy with 500. But the thing with Bryce is like, I was like, well, I mean, I've kind of doubted him. Not doubted him. I've had questions of a lot of things. Like, can he come back from the Tommy John and develop power?
Last year before the playoffs, remember? We almost all forget because of how brilliant he was in the playoffs. But the month before the playoffs, when he came back from the wrist injury, he was a disaster. Mm-hmm. He stunk mm-hmm. for a month. Mm-hmm. And then the playoffs start was like, oh, yeah, boom, best player in the world.
I was talking to someone yesterday at the game. And I was like, you realize like, there were like 4 games under 500 in September last year?
I know.
I was like, really? I was like, yeah, dude.
Dude,
they
were sitting here saying, like, if it weren't for the Brewers, they might not make the playoffs. Yeah. Like, thank God the Brewers lost games down that stretch, too.
Hey, just a little PSA to this Phillies team, if you're listening. Don't do that
don't
again.
Don't do that
just
again. Like, seriously, no.
Just don't do that again.
Can't do it.
I
need Craig Kimbrel to get some rest down the stretch. I need you to be able to set the rotation the way you need it, all that stuff.
If I could, I would gladly fast forward to this month.
I know.
Like, I wanted to go. Like, I don't want another month of baseball. I want August to live in my mind for, I mean, that's an, like, Bryce.
Yeah, but the Trey stuff, I mean, a month.
It was it's one of the best Augusts.
Of our lifetime.
In the history of the Phillies.
Without a doubt, honestly, I'm sure there are other August, like, we'll all remember the September of 2007 is the best September and, like, that kind of stuff, but I don't remember an August with the moments like this.
I mean, yesterday was the anniversary of the Utley comeback.
Sure, yeah, there have been moments, but like we're talking about like feel not just the ovations thing and then these Harper moments.
The no-hitter.
The no-hitter, but then also like
59 home runs in a month?
Yeah, the most ever. And then also like our role in it. Like it feels like we actually like helped our team, you know? Like, actually played a role in this season turning around. Like, that's crazy.
And the best part about it is that it was catch with a win yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. A walk-off 300 home run.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, you scripted it any better?
Can't. That's why he's the best.
You know what's sad too is like speaking of Trey, and it's funny because both those guys' OPSs, like they both raised their OPS over 100 points in a month, which is like in August. Like, insane to be able to do that, unless you're Julio Rodriguez, of course. But we forget about that Trey homer yesterday, too.
Oh,
like,
no.
That was a massive home run. Like, to take the lead. Like, it was like, you know, it's like that just gets lost because of everything that happened after. But, and that's the thing. And, like, you know, it was nice it was a walk-off win. But let's say even if they hadn't won that game.
Yes, even if Kimbrel came in and...
Like, they fought back twice, man. Like, they kept fighting back. Like, this team, man. This freaking team, dude.
I know. They are... Like, yesterday they lost, and I get it, and it stinks. And, like, Kimbrel's definitely a question mark.
That honestly, if you have to say, like, starting pitching, getting Nolas really set, but, like, Kimbrel's my biggest concern right now with the playoffs. Like, mm-hmm. looking ahead, he's my number one.
Now, speaking of the bullpen.
And it's not his fault. Like, it's a lot of freaking innings, man. Like, he's on pace to get, like, the most innings since his second season in baseball. Go ahead.
Yeah.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
I guess my thing with the bullpen is this. Like, do I wish there was a guy I feel like I could turn to right now and be like, this inning's done.
Like, this guy. Like Alvarado earlier, Kimbrel for most of the season.
And I think Alvarado's on his way back to that.
I do too. And Sir Anthony can get there.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's like, the bullpen right now is probably the biggest question mark. And I said this on the air twice yesterday. And it's the only way I can compare it to the mostly everyday person. Is that a baseball team's like a golf game. You know, like when your driver's great, your putter's terrible. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is my golf game.
Yeah. I think that sounds, I mean, like for non-professional golfers or whatever. Yeah.
Like when your driver's great, you're
all
short.
All my golf game is bad. But I think for people who play golf, I think they can relate to
like your short game's terrible.
So for those who don't know, he never taught you, you do not do a good enough job bragging about what a great golfer you are.
Well, because I'm now just a good golfer.
Okay. But for you, you're like, what are you, like a plus like 8 now or something like that? Or 10?
I'm probably 10 to 12.
Okay. So that's a great golfer. Like for the average human being, that's a badass golfer.
Yeah.
So just credit where due.
But
what he used to be like close to a scratch back in the day, right? Or something like that, or like 5 or 6 or something like that?
I was like a 6.
That's freaking awesome, man.
Used to be good.
Yeah, well, okay.
And now I play once a year.
Okay. Well, still,
I'm
trying to give you a little credit here, a little hype you up a bit.
Thank
Jack's
you.
A great golfer.
I shot a 90 in my first round of the year.
Like, are you kidding me?
Rolled out of bed.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I will never shoot a 90 in my life.
Yeah, well, listening to Cameron, it's just so sad.
I know.
It's like, he's like, I'm never going
to
hit
that. Like dying to crack 100.
I would love to see if he can shoot under 100.
Yeah.
I might just go play with him and see if he can.
You should. You could help
him. His swing is just, it's just.
Awkward.
It's not a bad swing. He has such little power.
Well, it's almost
like a sickly
kind of.
So
that's the funny thing with Joe, is that Joe is like, he surprises you with his hand-eye coordination. Like, he can swing a bat, he can hit a baseball. Like, he's not as, like, awkward as you would think, mm-hmm. but yet it looks awkward happening. You know what I mean? Like, when he hits it, it's like, he does it, and he hits the ball, but it's like, you don't look like you should be able to do that.
Well, and there's just no power behind it.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no...
Well, I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's just, like, good mechanics.
Yeah.
No oomph.
Yeah, he's like Yoan Rojas.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. he almost hit a ball. He almost hit a home run the night.
I know.
But yeah, so like the Phillies right now are kind of like a golf game where it's like, oh, you're bad off the tee, but everything else, and you just keep thinking, oh, if I can get all three to come together, I'd have a great round. Like, well, that doesn't happen. You know, that's not how most golf works for most people. And that's kind of like this team right now. You know, for the first half of the year, it was like bullpen is top 5 in baseball.
Yep.
And then June, the starters were insane. And then
August, the bats go crazy.
And the bats go crazy, but the bullpen, you know. So the good part about the bullpen and the good part about the starting staff right now is that, like, Wheeler looks back to being the ace and Nola's close. You know what I mean? So what worried me is that if you were going to get...
Yeah, those top two. You talked about it a ton.
Yeah, so that was my biggest concern. So, and then after that, like, we'll see what Ranger looks like this weekend.
And I still... Ranger, again, like, I... Even if he doesn't look great heading into the playoffs, like, I will trust that dude in big spots until he, like, screws up. Like, I just do. I just... After what we saw last year and after his career here and that we always said we thought he would be that way, I just trust him.
Yeah. But the part about the bullpen heading into the postseason is that those guys all have... like wipeout stuff. So like if they can just find it for a little bit,
yeah,
run could be something. Because like Sir Anthony is a concern. But like we know Sir Anthony can just
like that
and turn
honestly
into-
almost more than any other reliever I remember in recent years with the Phillies where it's like he can go from like looking lost to being the best pitcher on the team in a second.
Right. So I know it's a Howie Roseman saying, but I've kind of stolen it from him. And I know it's tough to say hope is not a strategy.
Yeah.
So, but you're hoping that these guys can just, because there's no, outside of like finding a way.
They can't do anything, yeah.
Well, they could.
Reynaldo,
come on down. I don't think.
What a dumpster fire. What embarrassment. In all honesty, like, we should all be furious about this as Phillies fans. Like, basically, like, they are offering Lucas Giolito to teams that are competing with us, teams that are lower us on the waiver wire. They have the first chance at Giolito, Lopez, at Grichuk, at all these guys. Like, they're basically giving them away. Like, it's actually we don't curse on them. I was about to say it's effed up. Like, that is messed up. Like, you are impacting a playoff race because you're just trying to get on a luxury tax or whatever. Like, it's messed up.
It is. And I think how it works this year is, like, they have to, like, a team can claim all of them.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a snake waiver or whatever, where it's like, okay, you claim.
Phillies won't get any of them. Like, they're not going to get any of them.
Now, the one good part would be if all these owners are still cheap and don't want to pay guys right now.
Well, that's what you hope. I mean, but that's the problem is that it's that most of the teams that are out of it aren't going to.
And
thus it comes up to, like, the Giants or the Reds or these teams that, like, you know, are in it and have a chance. They're like, sure, let's go for that.
Yes.
You know? So it is frustrating.
It is annoying. And I just, again, if it comes out the Phillies are able to claim Reynaldo, I'd be very,
amazing.
Very happy.
Be amazing.
Or Matt Moore. Bring him home.
Sure. Honestly, yeah.
Matt Moore's been insane.
He's been a great reliever the last few years.
And he threw a no-hitter as a Philly. He did. Against the Reds, just like the Pavetta. The bullpen. But again, and bullpen numbers do get inflated by just bad outings because it just.
Of course.
So, for example, Kimbrel's ERA is 6-something in August. But, like, if you take out yesterday, it's 3-6.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And
yep.
if freaking Stubbsy just blocks the baseball, who knows how that inning
goes. I know.
And it's excuse me, can I get it? But, like, 3-6 is not terrible. You can live with that. And he was still throwing 97, you know, so it's not like he was down to 94. Well,
and Joe made a good point on the air today that I hadn't thought about, but I should have. It was obvious. But that Bilotti mm-hmm. almost imploding. He had to get up and work. He had to get up and get ready and get loose. And, like, that, you mm-hmm. know, he was old, man. Like, it's like that.
I wish
have to kind of have kid gloves with him with some of this.
I wish Thompson didn't do that.
Me too. Especially because, like, why?
It was
why,
still 12-7.
It was 12-7. And, like, why Kimbrel in that spot? Like, just because your closer doesn't mean he has to come in every single. Like, 3 runs is still 3 runs. If they got 2 more, like wait till you really had to. Like, it just feels like I'm right there with you. I thought that was. It was 12-7.
Yeah. It was 12-7. Even if it's a home run, it's 12-10.
Yeah. I'm with you. Like, no, I'm with you. I thought that was a mistake.
Like, just relax. Like, yeah. I know we want to win. You know, I get it.
And it's good. Like, win games. I get it. But I thought in that spot, I 100% agree with you.
So, but, you know, and Soto is just, you have no idea. Like, he's either.
He could be nasty or can't find the plate. Like, it's just like.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
No idea.
Yeah.
And if I was running the Phillies bullpen, I'd look to try to switch him and Strom's roles. It feels like Strom is earlier, but Strom, I mean, I think he looks great.
Strom looks great. Just don't bring him out for a second inning.
Just calm
Every
down.
Time.
Deep breaths.
Like, that was a huge out against Ohtani in that game. And then, of course, he comes out and it's like, oh, yeah, there you go. Like, that was a big out, though, you know?
Yeah. So, switch those two, whatever. But they do have the upside and they do have the stuff. And that's why you go get stuff, guys, to turn around and get hot. And that's what we like. Alvarado, I think, looked closer to being early season Alvarado.
I think he's looking better.
Grichuk took him deep, but it was a solo shot, whatever. So,
Grichuk kills lefties and all that.
Yeah. Randall. The bullpen right now is definitely a question mark, but I do think that as we get in big games and it gets colder out and you know, guys throwing 99, hopefully they just get it. And they also have enough guys back there. Like if Sir Anthony and Alvarado last year faltered at all,
they had nothing.
It was like, we're screwed.
Nothing.
Now, at least at this team.
Ranger came out to close game 5 of the NLCS. Yeah. Like, that tells you something.
And Robertson was also bad, even though he closed out game 1 of the World Series.
Bad. Close game without Cassiano's catch, they lose. Like, yeah. That, like, it was not clean.
No, it was not. So, at least if one of those guys faltered, they do have, like, 4 other guys that have stuff that can go do something. So right now it's a concern. We just got to get through the year. Just get to the postseason and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I agree. All right, last thing before we get to the take bag. Thompson was on with us on the morning show yesterday. Joe asked him, because they had asked him about 2 weeks earlier or 3 weeks earlier, you know, is it basically an open competition for the playoff rotation? You know, obviously Wheeler's your one after that. And he's like, kind of, yeah. You know, an answer like, you know, we'll see who pitches well, wherever. They asked him again yesterday. He said, Noel's my 2. Boom, flat out, your thoughts.
And I think that, and I had that in the take back too, I think that motivated Nola.
I think it was smart.
And I think he did it on purpose. I think he is like, go earn it.
Yeah.
You know? And we knew they were going to put Nolan in the rotation. Like,
there was the whole time, we're like, he could be the worst pitcher on the staff for the rest of the season. He's going to be in the rotation.
Correct. But I think it was like, all right, well, I guess I got to go earn this thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, how he's pitched since has been really, really good.
Is it possible that Nola does respond to pressure? You know, it's just been weird coincidences. And
yeah.
The way Thompson said it, he was like, I trust Aaron Nola in a big spot. There's no one else I'd rather have there. Like, and it's coach speak and all that, but still, he was emphatic about it.
He was. So I think that did motivate him. And I think it got, obviously, how he's pitched the last two outings, a better version of Aaron Nola. So that's you talk about managers' impact on stuff, and they are more philosophical and culture setters and stuff like that than they are tacticians.
Big time.
So
we talk about that all the time.
Yeah. So that's a example of good manager.
Yeah. And well, like we talked about last time, but the answer he gave me when he was on me on the morning show last week about the analytics. Now he's like, I asked him, how do you manage the analytics versus the gut? And he gave a perfect example about it. You know, the numbers say pinch hit for Johan Rojas in the fifth inning, but that doesn't take into account Johan Rojas, the person, and how he's going to take that and this and that. Like, it's like, I think Thompson's pretty damn good at that, like in terms of understanding his guys and what they need from him and what he needs to do for them. All right, take back in a sec. Shout out to Miller Lite. We love Miller Lite. And it's time for the Miller Lite Bar of the Week, P.J. Ryan's Pub out in Phoenixville. A great place. Today's Miller Lite Bar of the Week is P.J. Ryan's Pub in Phoenixville, where you can watch all Phillies games with a $3 Miller Lite pint special. Go to pjryanspub.com. We'll have some High Hopes watch action to announce soon. So that's coming up. We will be doing a game together soon and all that. So that's going to be super duper fun. Shout out to Miller Lite. We love them.
Baseball is back, and BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same game parlay boost, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boosts, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards payback and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really, or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?
Take back.
Can they go 16-13 in September and get me to 90 wins?
Ooh. So, yes, absolutely. I mean, it's September. So, your boy bet on 88.5 over. So, nice. I'm right there with you. So, I guess technically I only need 15 wins, but 90 would be nice.
Would it be nice? Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Because 89 would cash
89 would win for me. That's all I need. Yeah, I'll take 89.
Big Mac guy.
But 90 wins for me, too. I won't complain.
I'm glad they made the World Series 80, but it was like 87 wins feels so Mickey.
It does. Anything under 90, you're right. Even 89, it's like, you need to get to 90.
If they go 18-11, they get the 92.
Look at that.
How's that?
Look at that.
Quick math.
Woo!
Woo! Woo! I would love 90 wins. That's right. It would make my heart happy to see the Phils win 90 games again. Because, like, yeah, World Series great, but 90 is a threshold that not many teams cross. Especially because they're six games under 500 again. Anyway, so 16-13, let's do it. And again, like, we're heading into September. I know it's like the worst thing, the worst month in the history of Phillies baseball. September.
It is wild when you think about since, again, like, 2017, whatever, before they didn't care. Like, Rhys Hoskins was the only thing to care about the end
even
of
the wasn't it 11? They didn't 11, they get cold at the end of the year.
Yeah,
too?
Yo, I wasn't even thinking of it. Yeah, but like literally since they started competing again, the two Gabe years, the two Girardi's years, and last year, even though they got the end, like they've collapsed every single September.
Yeah.
Every one, man.
I'm just begging you. Don't do it.
Please, guys. Like please.
And every time I say I'm at the point, I say it's the kiss of death for the Phillies for at least like five games, is I always say I'm at the point now where I can kick my feet up.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying
that. Don't say that.
Not saying
Please that. Don't say that.
No, I'm yeah. saying don't make me stress.
Yeah, I agree. Look, until I literally can kick my feet up in September, I will never say that I can kick my feet up.
Yeah, like the last two games last year, the Houston series.
Yeah. Yeah. We clinched.
Didn't even watch. I don't know what happened.
Well, the one they lost like 10-0. Yeah. Remember the next day? They went out hard.
Yeah.
Now we know how much they party. At that moment, we saw the celebration, but like they probably went hard.
Yeah, of course. And now, I think it was Anthony Sanfilippo was talking about this, about how like Nola throws a scotch party after wins, and Schwarber, like every story now is he's walking around with beers, him and Castellanos.
This guy's party.
Like, just love it.
Yeah.
I
can get down with that.
That's different. That's
baseball. I can get down with that. Yeah.
I mean, they're a very, very close team. And by the way, one of the more sneaky, underrated portions of the team right now is Rob Thompson's comedy. I mean, guys.
Oh, dude, that line about JT today, how funny was that? Did you hear that yesterday?
Yesterday.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Destiny tweeted out.
Yeah. So basically, Richie asked him about, like, you know, what's going on with the home road splits? You know, he's like a 930 OPS on the road, 5 something at home. And Thompson goes, honestly, I don't know. He's got 4 kids at home. Maybe that's it.
Yep.
It's just like,
yeah, he just gets it. Yeah. So his comedy, you're starting to see like more of that with Rob Thompson. And, you know, as we go along here, yeah, I think it's only going to come out more and more. Like, I guess, I think someone asked him in the pregame media scrum, like, do you have a pair of the rally overalls? And he's like, I do. And they asked him, are you going to wear them? He said, I will not. it's just good. That's good.
And he's quick. Like, he'll like throw in a little, like, you know, he'll be like, oh, so what'd you do? And they'll go through and be like, oh, it's pretty good managing there, right? And, you know, like just throwing lines like that. That's like either the opposite or whatever. He's really funny, man. And super genuine. Mm-hmm. Super. Like, we were talking about it. Like, I don't ever remember a team official or coach doing interviews on the radio who is more open and honest consistently. Like, it is.
Well, Doug was pretty honest.
Doug was, but even. This is even more, man. Rob really tells it like it is, and he really says like what he's thinking and stuff.
He knows the station he's coming on.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, accountability station.
But I also think, to your point that you're making about it, like whenever he's asked, and obviously he's been asked like a zillion times because it's been like the story of the month, about like why is this team so what's the why, where does the culture come from? Where does this chemistry? And he's like, the guys love each other. He says it every time. He's like, it's that they're a close-knit group of guys. He's like, they hang out with each other. They golf together. They do this and that together. And that just seems like it's been a common theme from him. So, yeah, like, it's like, and that matters. I mean, how long have we freaking talked about that?
And it's the biggest difference between Dombrowski and Klentak. And
by far.
Like, Klentak's bringing in guys that are playing video games back in the clubhouse while everyone's out on the field. Like, there's no camaraderie at those teams, and that's why they collapsed every September.
Totally.
Like, they weren't close at all.
Totally.
And now, that was actually one thing I was thinking about Nola, because I wonder who his, like, guy on the team is. Because, like, him and Eflin were very close.
They were, yeah.
And now, like,
that's a good point.
Like, Wheeler's kind of just himself, you know?
Wheeler feels like a lone wolf.
Well, they're both kind of quiet. They're just quiet guys. And I just wonder who Nola, like,
hope he has a buddy.
I hope he has a buddy. I'll be your buddy, Aaron. Aaron, if you need someone to talk to, you can win a World Series together.
So, in case you missed it, any Philadelphia Philly, if you want to be friends with Jack, he would love to.
Exactly.
Is the big takeaway from this podcast, yes.
There's no one I would... I don't think that. I think I'd be friends with all of them.
All great guys. Yeah. I just want to be friends with Stubbsy. That's what I want to be.
Well, Stubbsy, I feel like you and Stubbsy have the same, similar, you know.
Both Jewish. You got a lot we could talk about.
Both.
Similar vibes.
Very energetic.
You know, very energetic. Yeah. We're bringing the party, you know.
Block the ball, though.
Yeah, block the ball. Like, I know.
I think
it's the first time we've kind of been able to rip Stubbsy for something on the field in a while.
I think it hit the back of the plate and skidded.
In rewatching it, and I was at the game, so it was impossible to see what happened because we were at the rooftop section, so we were way deep, so I couldn't see what happened in the moment. And when I went back and watched it, that's what I thought. It looked like it kind of skidded on him quicker than obviously, yeah. But I think that makes sense that was. But yeah, it was a bummer because it could be a different game if that, you know, really could be.
Yep.
Really could be. Yeah.
So I actually don't have much in here because we talked about a lot of it. But I wanted to, I brought this up on the final out the other night. And I'm ready to run it by you.
Ooh.
Did you notice? You know, I know I get more offended at this than you because I know that you do some Eagles podcast. But I loathe Eagles chants at Phillies games.
I know you do.
When they're playing, especially when they're playing well. When
they're bad, I'm fine with it because it's almost like play better. But I agree with you. I know you hate it like more than anyone. I I'm not like gonna like yell at the people next to me if they do it, but I don't like it. If the Phillies are good, I don't like it.
I don't know how I would react if I was sitting out there.
You would. I mean, I don't know if you
take. Shut up.
Yeah, you're not confrontational.
No, not at all.
At all. Like you what you would do if we were sitting up there? You'd be like, "Yo, James, can you go talk to those people for me?
Tell them to be quiet. Can you just go tell them to be quiet? I don't have no problem doing that.
Yeah,
boo.
I'll walk right up to them. Be like, "Yo, guys.
But did you notice what happened in the late stages of the 12 before the Bilotti collapse?
I did not. What happened?
It's a roll call. There was a roll call of the Phillies game. They were chanting, you know, Alec, like they were doing the whole like Alec Bohm thing. Uh-huh. And once he acknowledged them, they moved on to the I guess I don't know if they got to the entire team.
Uh-huh.
But there was a little roll call. So
it could replace.
Now it's a Yankees thing.
Yeah,
but the difference between the Phillies and Yankees is that the Phillies are doing it when they're up by a ton late in games, mm-hmm. which is where you usually hear the Eagles chants, which I don't want to hear.
Kind of love this.
Versus Yankees.
Who it's definitely better than the Eagles chant. There's no argument against
that. Well, it just replaces the drunk people at the end of the game that
just want
to
yell.
They're waiting for the game to end.
Yeah, they just want to yell something.
Because that's what the Eagles chant is. The Eagles chant is like, it's not, you know, most often, more now it's not like, you guys suck.
No, before it was. It was like, yeah.
Yeah. Now it's kind of like, well, we have nothing else to do. But if they start a roll call, that's your thing.
I like it. Look, we stole the Cubs thing, and that was a giant mistake. Like,
what Cubs thing?
The throwing the ball back. Like, don't do that. You know, like that's dumb. But this is a good one to steal. I like this.
Sure.
We stole
dancing on our own.
Can we be honest? Yeah, we did from the Red Sox. Let's be honest. Can we also be honest? I mean, Yankees are an irrelevant franchise.
Completely falling
off. So it really doesn't matter. You know, it's like almost like stealing something from a minor league team or something.
Well, it's sort of sad, too, because like when they do a roll call, there's like, what, five people there now? So the players can't even probably hear it.
I know. They don't even know what's happening.
So I'm just saying, it could replace the Eagles.
I dig it. Cool. I co-sign.
Because whatever.
I still think the best thing you've said on the pod, though, is when you saw that kid doing the marbles.
Oh, that's going to happen.
The whole crowd in the playoffs doing the marbles is... Like, it's all I want now. Like, I'm like you with that one thing. Like, I'm not an envision, like, oh, I see it. That's your thing. Like, mm-hmm. you are the king of that. Like, I'm with that. Like, that, I can't stop thinking about it. I think about it all the time, how freaking awesome that's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be great.
Hopefully it's, like, in the NLCS. And we can get there. And then, like, is Trey Turner about the end of the season... Like batting 270, 275.
I mean, he might get up to an 800 OPS all of a sudden. Like, he's like 750 something.
Like 25 homers.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it's hard at this point in the season to raise your average from 235 to, I believe he's 258.
Yeah, it's really hard. And to raise your OPS 100 points in a month, like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of at bats. It's really hard to move. Like, Schwarber was like at 189. He had like went 0 for 4. It's like 188. Like, it's like, you know, like, it's really hard to do.
It's really hard. And that's a testament to how insane he's been in this month. But it's just like, if he can, like, after everything, to end the year like 275 with 25 homers and like 30 stolen bases. Pretty good.
Pretty good, it's man.
Pretty
that would
good.
Be a pretty nice season.
It's like one of the best Philly shortstop seasons in forever, by the way.
I know. Like since Jimmy or
like
whatever.
Like 07 Jimmy, probably.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It's so funny. Oh, my good.
Yeah.
And obviously the chance to do stuff in the playoffs. Like, you know, we talked about it with Cassianos last year, and it was just making some catches.
Yeah, it was defense,
like,
yeah.
Like, Trey's, like, turned it around. Like, you know, a couple big playoff hits. And I think already people don't, other than remember it because of the narrative, like that, like we're past the like Trey thing. Like now he's just Trey Turner. I feel like, you know,
he's
Trey Turner.
It jogged my memory. Which loss? I guess physical.
Oh, the
loss.
Ovation. The ovation.
Like
the ovation.
It's
the
so ovation. They lost the ovation game and they lost the Harper.
I know. It's so funny. It's so funny.
And they're both all time Phillies yearbook moments.
Oh yeah, I think the ovation.
Now, they won the no hitter game. That was good.
I think it's rare that you don't win the no hitter game. I think the ovation is I think it might be the moment of the last 10 years. I think the ovations, especially if Trey's career just continues on this trajectory, like is like one of the five greatest regular season moments in the history of the team potentially.
Again, the vision that I have for the cover of the Phillies video yearbook is the Trey. Tip of the cap.
Yep.
Like the Trey comes out and after he hits the home run. And it's just seven Turner giving it back to the fans. Mm-hmm. But although Bryce, I think, might have gotten it yesterday with the kissing.
Bryce, the kissing. And I mean, like, also, like, like the shot of the crowd through the dugout with Castellanos waving his towel for the ovation for Trey. Like, I'll never forget that.
I'm talking like still photo.
I know you are. I know. Like Castellanos on the top step waving the towel with the shot of Trey from behind with the crowd standing. Mine, that's a pretty good one too.
That was before the home run.
So if we're talking just picture, it's Bryce kissing the jersey, I think. I do. I've never seen anyone. Have you ever seen anyone do that in your life?
Never.
I've never seen that. Like, it was like, what compelled him to be like, I'm going to kiss the jersey? And he did it like four times.
Because he's a Philly.
Because he's Philly.
He's our guy.
So great. I can't believe Bryce.
What if he's grunted for an entire pod? That's our guy.
That's how I feel, though. I feel like I could just grunt through a pod with excitement.
I can't wait to talk to him at 4.
I'm so jealous.
I really hope he calls like 3 minutes before so we can catch up.
Catch up. Yeah. Ask him to come on High Hopes. I mean, what are we doing here?
I know.
Like, this WIP thing's nice, and you love it, Bryce. But, you know, there's Bryce, hey, when you're driving in and listening to Marks and Reese, check out the High Hopes pod.
Oh, totally endorse that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least say that. Yeah. Like, hey, dude, check out our pod.
Yeah. But what if he says, nice interview with Mick? I've thought about it.
If he makes it, well, he's going to know you. Like, he's going to be like, hey, Jack, like, you know that's going to happen because he's already mentioned your name before. Mm-hmm. And like, so like, you be ready for that. The question is, does he go the next step? Like, hey, man, great pod or something like that. Like, I doubt he's like, great. He's like, Mick interview is great. Then I will die. Like, you're joking about like Aiden Miller's going to kill me. That would kill me.
Yeah,
I'd be done then. But if he like goes the extra step and like makes a comment about something you said or like the top five or whatever it is, you die.
I will not put him on the air because there will be a dead man in the studio. Imagine that. Like, we're back from break. I collapse.
It's like, Sean's like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh God. We're going to go to Bryce Harper, but Jack's lying.
Yeah, he fainted. It's good. Nice morbid episode for the end of August.
I know. I'm dead. You're dying during your shift. It was a good day. Sorry, High Hopes pod's done. Apparently.
Yeah.
Both dead.
What a way to go out. If this is our last podcast, that's dark. If this is our last podcast,
it's really dark. Yeah.
Just please cut the beginning and play it at Bryce Harper's.
Oh, I like that. Yes. Yeah. Honor it.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Would you go right?
Bryce and I. What'd you say?
Would you go right now? If
Okay, so you're saying, would I be willing to die
right now
if I knew that Mai would be honored at Bryce Harper's Cooperstown ceremony? Probably not. I have to think about it.
Yeah. 215.
A lot of death.
Good. Go, Fells.
This is what happens when the Phillies are this team. Like, we spend so long talking about a very different type of Phillies team. Now we're just like, all right, we can die.
They used to make us want to die for other reasons.
I know. Now.
Mostly watching them.
Yes, literally, yeah. All right, you got any final thoughts?
My final thought is this, because I was thinking about this the other night.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of Phillies fans now remember 19-11? Like 19-11, the Marlins collapse game with Velasquez.
What a great question. There's probably a large portion that don't.
But like if I want
people listening to this podcast do.
Of course. But I'm saying, like, if I went to Citizens Bank Park and it's like 40,000 people there, and I polled, if I somehow could put a poll together and they put it on the big screen, do you know what 19-11 is?
I would say like 3% of people would get it right. Yeah. We're sick.
Just curious.
Yeah, we're sick.
I was thinking about that the other day.
You think about 19-11 a lot.
Yeah.
That's like a go-to comeback. You know what I think about a lot? When I'm just thinking about the era, just because I still can't believe it happened. I think about that Hector giving up back-to-back to backers in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Well, that was the night the Flyers also got Nolan Patrick.
Yep, it was. You're right.
The rights to get Nolan
Patrick. I've never seen that. I've never seen a game end on back-to-back-to-back home runs. It was like, and it was like right in the middle of it all, and it was September, and we're just like, yeah, this is.
See, the Hector moments.
This is like right. It was like July or whatever, June, but it was like right there.
The Hector moments I think of was the Nationals collapse in 18.
Sure. Was that the Wilmer Defoe game?
I believe so.
I remember the Wilmer Defoe game. Yeah, I think
it was 18. And JT calling for a fastball against Pablo Sandoval.
Oh, the down Pablo.
In Atlanta when he was set up for a splitter. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'll ever get over that.
Yeah.
They might make the playoffs if they just call one splitter.
I know.
In that time period.
What a good time, buddy. Now we're here.
I know.
Now we're talking about Bryce Harper's Hall of Fame induction. Like, what a turn this pod has taken.
Sure has, pal.
Great. Now, like, our name used to be ironic. Now it's real. It's great.
Yeah. And it was ironic before August.
And basically all of last year except for October.
Correct.
And then most of this year until August.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. I like this way better than the other way.
Way better. Although, that made us who we are.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. Wouldn't change it for the world.
Toughened us up.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Yes.
When we first started doing this podcast, I was like, oh my God, Phillies are the greatest things. Like, I love them.
Oh, you get to talk about the Phillies. This is so cool.
And I was like, wow, I stink, man. Like, like we're talking about Altair versus Nick Williams.
I remember, buddy. Yeah.
Again, Pivetta's spring training start against the Cardinals is also, when he's hit 99, also all time. But, like, you know, again, it toughened us up.
The 2018, like, talking about that team, again, a team that competed for a lot of the season, like, you look at that team compared to this team, just in terms of talent, it's astounding.
Dude, they started...
It's astounding.
They started Justin Bour, Carlos Santana. I mean, Jose Bautista was on that team.
Struble Cabrera coming in.
Wilson Ramos. Yeah.
Like,
and I was just thinking about the other day, we're thinking about, like, our current status, right? I mean, we literally said we're going to quit the podcast if Matt Klentak gets fired.
I know.
I don't know if we can do that anymore.
No, we're past it. Yeah. We're good now.
That's great.
Yeah. I'm going to quit the podcast if Philly don't win the World Series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can that work?
Damn it.
All right. Who we got this weekend? It's the Brewers. It's a big weekend, actually. Brewers are the hottest team in baseball.
Wheeler Nola on the mound, which is good.
It's a fun one. It's been a little, like, we've, you know, I've loved it, but they've not had, like, a kind of show me series.
Yeah, but I get nervous around show me series.
Really?
I do. I really do.
I feel like they play up.
I think they do. I agree with you. But there's always a part of me of like, damn it.
I get it.
This could be hard.
No, I get it. Yeah. And look, again.
No burns though.
Well, not just that. It starts tomorrow, which September 1st. So like, you know, that's what I'm afraid of.
God, I want to fast forward this month.
Me too.
I just want to get through it.
Me too.
I want the postseason to start. I do not want to watch the Phillies this month.
All right. We'll be back October 1st. We'll talk to you guys in a month. All right. We'll be back after the weekend and show me series, buddy. It'll go good. I'm confident.
No, cut that. Don't let that out.
You know
there.
What? I would
bleep
we're
that.
Gonna, yeah. We'll bleep. Bleep what I said. You don't know what it was. Don't suck in September. Is that better? Can I say
Much
that?
Much better.
Don't suck in September.
Yeah.
He's Fritz and Seltzer.